So before starting seminar, let me tell you that the Chushio Hayashi passed away a few days ago.
Oh.
Just passed away. So because he continuously encouraged me and gave comments, advice. So I feel very sad. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So I start. Maybe Stefan talk about this kind of crossing super Earth system. Recent observation, radar velocity survey of Swiss group show that the crossing super Earth system are very common, like 40 or 60% of solar type star have crossing super Earth system, while our solar system doesn't have any crossing planet. Also, they suggest that these super systems are mostly multiple but non-resonant. Also, the orbital radius is broadly distributed, and the mean value is like 0.1 AU. So it is much larger than the location of hot Jupiters. Hot Jupiters are, concentrated, accumulated near 0.03 or 0.04 AU. And it is also well beyond the correlation radius, which may correspond to the inner disk edge. Also, some of super Earths have mass larger than 10 Earth mass, because they are in inner region, so they should accrete very fast. They didn't start a runaway gas accretion. So I and Doug Green are addressing these issues.
So you're calling you use the term super Earth for planets even more massive than 10 Earth masses. Because the Swiss mm-hmm. team result, I believe, is includes many Neptunes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting all of this together?
All together, yeah. Okay, and note that this kind of super system are very similar to the Galilean system around Jupiter. The mass ratio is very similar to the Galilean satellite, and also only rock and ice, so solid planet, and well beyond the correlation radius. Only different points are only in this case inner 3 are locked in resonance. Also, we have another example. So Saturnian satellite system. In this case, only one big body, Titan, is located in the outer region. So that you find these systems are very similar, and we find that they share the common physics. We study this satellite system with another paper, but today I focus on the super system. So. Yeah, let me start with the why these bodies are well beyond the correlation radius. Let me explain more data. What's the problem? If the disk, pluto-planetary disk have a cavity, then there's a migrating planet and migrate inward, then stop at the disk edge, in the disk edge, because there's no gas inside cavity. Here, I only consider standard inward migration. If I have time, I can comment on the Paddy Cooper's migration. But for a moment, I consider standard inward migration. Then the next body comes, and the next body comes. Then it is natural that these inner bodies are pushed in by the subsequent bodies. So the one after another, then these guys are pushed in. But in this case, maybe may correspond to the correlation radius. These guys are accreted by host star through the long-term tidal evolution.
So can I ask you about this this notion that the planet stops early? I don't quite understand. Because if you have Lindblad torques,
mm-hmm.
correlation torques, you may need something at the correlation orbit of the planet. But if you have Lindblad torques, mm-hmm. you have actually a torque that's pushing you in, a torque that's pushing you out from the gas inside, outside.
Yeah.
If you remove the gas inside, I'm going to be pushed in by interaction with the outer disk, and so I would expect that planet to get somewhat in of the inner edge of the disk.
Yeah, that's a Samyaran.
Right, by itself
you can
reach that.
Yeah, because there is still a Lindbergh torque.
And then you can still push the other.
Yeah. I agree that, yeah. Okay. But in many cases, we find a very different situation. In many cases, we find just stuck, and the innermost guy is pinned at the disk edge, and the everybody trapped in resonance, but still, they don't enter the cavity. So it looks very strange because these guys keep losing angular momentum through disk plant interaction, the type of migration. But in many cases, we find this kind of situation. So let me show you some example. This is an N-body simulation. This is a time and this is a semi-axis. Here, this is N-body simulation, and we include a type 1 drag. Type 1 drag means a damping of eccentricity due to the disk plant interaction, and the type 1 migration. Here, we use the type 1 migration rate predicted by linear theory. So it is a relatively fast migration. So the fast body migrate and stop. Here is a disk edge. We actually cut off the disk gas. So here, first one, then the stop near the edge. Actually, it is slightly inside the disk edge. And the second one comes, then trapped in resonance. This case, like a 5 to 6 or something like that. Then you find the innermost one migrate outward at the dropping rather than the pushed in. And the third one comes and also trapped. And in this case, a migration is so fast that so the fourth one comes, then the innermost guy is just pushed in. But still, three bodies are trapped, and the fourth one comes and also trapped.
How big are these bodies? Because type 1 is size dependent.
Yeah. In this case, is we assume Erasmus body, one Erasmus. And another example. Here, this is a full N-body. We start with many, many small guys, and we calculate the growth and migration. But orbital integration is the same. We include mutual gravity and the type 1 drag. Here, we assume the relatively slow migration, so 100 times slower than the migration rate predicted by linear theory. In this case, many guys formed and start migration, but here is the disk edge. We set up disk edge here. So the dozens of embryos are trapped, and you see the innermost guy is not pushed in the cavity. So the what's going on here is the following. It's a very simple physics. If we put the planet in a eccentric orbit, that crosses the disk edge. So we set up the eccentric orbit like this. Then near the pericenter, no gas, but near the apocenter, there's gas. So the this planet suffered drag, like a dynamic friction, hydrodynamical, any drag is fine. Then this planet suffered drag only near the apocenter. So near the apocenter, planet velocity is slower than the local circular Keplerian velocity. So if there is a drag, this planet is motion is accelerated by the drag because the gas is faster, rotates faster. So we find the upcenter is almost fixed, but the pericenter expand until the pericenter reach the disk. This is very simple. Actually, eccentricity is damped, but the semi-axis expand increases. And this expansion, outward migration, is very fast because this expansion is associated with the eccentricity damping. And in the linear theory, by Bill Ward, Tanaka, they show that the eccentricity damping timescale is much shorter than the type of migration timescale by this factor. This is sound velocity and Kaplan velocity square. And this factor is typically 10 to the minus 3 near the disk edge. So this process is much faster, which means that angular momentum supply is very fast. So this is much stronger than the reverse torque near the disk edge proposed by Massey et al. 2006. This torque is near the disk edge, pressure gradient is positive. So the migration direction change. This stopping mechanism is much stronger. Also, some people tried hydrodynamical calculation by Kurida or Baruto. They find this correct. So in the preliminary calculation, they find a high density region in front of planet. It's natural because the gas velocity is faster, so the gas overtake planets, then the gravitation focusing and the gas accumulates here, so high density region always appears in front of planet, so the high density region pulls the planet and the planet is accelerated. So the also the high density.
It's more of a gravitational than a viscous effect.
This is a gravitational.
So if you make the bodies smaller, because small bodies can migrate through type 1 as well, would they not? I mean, you also expect a viscous form of this effect, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because we consider some planet or something like that, so that we consider dynamic gravitational. But if we consider small guys, and then hydrodynamic drag do the same thing. Yeah.
So the way this happens in the plot you showed before is by bringing a second body, mm-hmm. you excite the eccentricity of the one that's inside of the disk, and it gets him back in the disk.
Right. So we did many calculations. This is just a two-body calculation, but we changed the mass ratio. So just a two-body put in the disk, and this is mass of inner guy. This is mass of outer guy. And if the outer guy is very big, like 100 times bigger, then of course, type of migration wins. So the no trapping. But this is very interesting. If the small guy, outer guy is very small, like 1%, then the trapping doesn't occur. This is because in this case, eccentricity of inner guy is not excited because outer guy is very small. So the, this mechanism doesn't work. Actually, here, outer guy is larger than the inner one, like a factor 3, factor 5. Then still trapping occurs. Even the outer guy is bigger because in this case, eccentricity is excited. So the through the eccentric damping, a large amount of angular momentum is transferred. So they're trapped. So this is some analytical line, analytical formula. This line is given by some function of the ratio of the damping time scale of eccentricity and semi-axis. And this is width of the disk edge. So how smooth is A? So we derived some analytical formula, and anybody simulation agree with the formula. So we go back. Here, these bodies are very similar. I mean, they have similar mass because they start migration when the migration time scale becomes smaller than the accretion time scale. accretion time scale is increased with mass. On the other hand, type 1 migration time scale decreases with mass. So the when the planet is small, this time scale is shorter, so they stay there, actually. But if the some critical mass of planet exceeds some critical mass, they start migration, which means that these bodies start migration at the similar mass. Well, in this kind of calculation, we find that these bodies have similar mass, so they are stacked. We also did the here's the final result, but we also artificially removed the gas like this. This is time, and this stage is here. Then we found the eccentricities pumped up, and eventually they start orbit crossing. And through the giant impact, on this several body remained. And of course, they undergo cross-scattering and the collision. They are kicked out of from the resonance. So these bodies are, of course, non-resonant. And here is a disk edge. Of course, they are lined up here. So the final body is also distributed broadly. And the mean bodies are like a 0.1 AU or something like that. So we can reproduce the non-resonant multiple supers at relatively large semi-axis. Of course, this instability depends on number of bodies, number of stacked body. In this case, 20 or 30 bodies are lined up, attracting resonance. So the, if we take out this gas, then the eccentricity is pumped up there. Some chaotic interaction. But if the number of bodies are like three or four, then we find that the system is stable even after the disk depletion. So such case may correspond to the Galilean system, Galilean satellite system.
So you remove the disk instantaneously?
Yeah, not instantaneously, because it causes some numerical error, so we decrease exponentially. But the time scale is a time scale, depletion time scale is, we set the longer than the liberation time scale.
Have you tried eating the disk away from the inside out?
So this is what would happen. The disk would grow slowly inside. As the amp goes depletion down, the cavity would grow inside.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Unstable on the inside first, rather than the outside. Actually.
Yeah, that's how. But the evolution of the disk image, it's a very difficult problem because the if the disk accretion is high, then the disk location moves inward, and if the stellar magnetic field is strong, then the disk go outward. But the observation suggests a magnetic field and the disk accretion rate are correlated. So it is a kind of competition. So it's very difficult to predict how the in edge evolve.
Have you checked how sharp the edge, the inner edge has to be in order for the track to work? Does it have to be very sharp?
Or yeah.
Be shallow?
Actually, here I told you this is a function of the sharpness. Yeah, if we use the very smooth edge, then the tracking doesn't occur. But the, if the this disk width is comparable to the disk scale height, if we use such value, still, trapping region is very broad. So we included this process in our population synthesis calculation. So this case is not anybody, it's just a semi-analytical calculation, like I and Doug Green doing, and Christoph is doing. This is just an example. We set up a seed planet, and calculate growth accretion from planetesimal and the migration. So when the planet exceeds some critical mass, they start migration and stop here and draft in resonance. And here we actually decrease the disk gas surface density exponentially with time scale 3 million years. Then after that, they start orbit crossing, then they collide each other to make the several supers. Here, this is a log scale, so you can see what's happening here. We did this kind of Monte Carlo calculation. So start with the almost circular bodies, and it is a semi-axis and the pericenter, upcenter, and the eccentricity pumped up, and they cross each other to collide. This is a kind of Monte Carlo calculation, but our result is qualitatively, quantitatively agree with anybody result of anybody simulation. Yeah, but this is very fast. N-body simulation takes like 2 days or 3 days for this kind of calculation. But this calculation just a 0.1 second with my MacBook. It's very fast.
So what are the typical eccentricities?
It depends on the mass of the planet.
You had that in the previous slide.
Yeah, previous slide. Like 0.01 to 0.1. So actually, it is smaller than the surface escape velocity divided by Keplerian velocity, much smaller, because it is due to the collision damping.
Mm-hmm. You run a subset of these systems out for longer, because that's quite a few systems there. So
yeah,
roughly planned.
Yeah, here we start with like a 0.1 Earth mass. So the ejection doesn't occur. But the outer guys are, scattered outer and there.
But I guess I'm wondering, so these systems are now stable on a 10 to the 8 year timescale, but you might imagine there could still be some residual instability on a 10 to the 10 year timescale.
Yeah. There is some formula for the crossing timescale. If we set up the planet mass and the separation, then we many people working on that empirical formula. We check the, crossing time scale, to check the despair every pair. Then in this case, estimated crossing time scales are like 10 to 11 years or 12 years. This is semi-axis and the pericenter and the upcenter. So this width, represents orbital eccentricity. So here, eccentricity is like a 0.2 or something like that. Okay, so before the disk gets gone, they are trapped in resonance, so which means that these bodies are stable. So the mass of the these embryos is less than Earth mass. So that it's and their mass is too small to start Runge gas accretion. But through the giant impact, they collide with each other and their mass increase more than factor 10. So they eventually we find the near 10 Earth mass supers. But at that time, already this gas has gone. So they don't accrete the gas because of already gas gone. So we can reproduce the non-resonant and multiple super systems, and they are broadly distributed, and of course, and also they missed gas accretion. So this is consistent with observation.
Do you ever get objects that are above 10 Earth masses? Can you reach like 15 or 20?
In this case we start with the twice as massive as the minimum mass solar nebula model. But if we start with more massive disk, we get the higher mass body. Yeah, actually we did it. This calculation is just a one system, but we repeat a similar calculation, so 1,000 system. and the disk mass is different. We use this kind of distribution. So the center is a minimum Solanavian model, but there's some log normal distribution. We pick up randomly 1,000 system, then calculate and superpose. This is the result. So semi-axis and the mass. And the red one means the gas giant. So the gas mass is larger than solid mass. And this is a terrestrial, and this is IC. And so this is the mass distribution, planetary mass distribution for the crossing planet. So 0.3, so this region, we sum up the number of the planet. And you find that, because there's a clear gap around the 50 Earth mass. So these are super Earths, and these are giants. And for this planet, we plot the semi-axis distribution. So this is a giant, gas giant. These are rocky planet. So hot Jupiters accumulated near the disk edge because here we stop the type 2 migration at the disk edge. But these supers are distributed very broadly, like this. So these results are consistent with the observation. Yeah.
But you don't get this family of super Earth planets together with a hot Jupiter. It never happens in the.
Never happens because we include dynamic interaction. If the hot Jupiter comes and the hot Jupiter just so inside or outside. Yeah. Actually, these guys are. I'm scattered by hot Jupiters. These small, because I set up the disk edge here, 0.04 AU.
What leads to the giant planets and the hot Jupiters is more mass in the disk? Even more mass in the disk?
Hot Jupiters are formed like three times, four times more massive than the minimum Solanavian model.
On your log normal distribution, the mass is in small particles or planetesimals or something like that. It's not in gas, is that right?
Yeah.
And then they accrete, and that's how you build.
Yeah, but I assume the same gas to dust ratio, so the disproportion to the surface density of solid.
Okay. Yeah. And so then these things accrete. Does all of the mass end up in planets then, or is there a lot left over, or? I'm leading towards trying to find out about zodiac disks around stars and what's left over.
Actually, in our paper, we discuss about the formation of debris disk, and if we start with the massive disk, then the gas giants are formed. When the gas giants are formed, then the planetesimal in the outer region are just ejected, and so many planetesimal are ejected. But if we start with the relatively small disk, then the only rocky and icy bodies are formed. In that case, we find that large amount of planetesimal remained in the system, in particular in the outer region, because in the outer region, growth is very slow. In the inner region, growth of rocky planets is fast, and they create older planetesimal. But in the outer region, large amount of planetesimal just remain. Yeah. But if giant planet formed, then the giant planet ejected everything.
Okay. So when you start with a large mass, a lot of it gets lost.
Yeah.
You start with a smaller mass.
Yeah.
A lot of it stays.
Yeah. Right.
Short period.
Right.
Okay.
Quick question. So in this model, the pi up of the at 0.3 AU gas giant is due to the turning off the.
So this is artificial. We just set up the.
By hand, basically.
Yeah, by hand. Yes, but this distribution is also the same in the boundary. the location of inner boundary is artificial. We just set up 0.03 or 0.04 AU, but this is same inner boundary. So what I want to say is that these super Earths are distributed well outside what Jupiter. So the next question is, what about our solar system? The one possibility is that our solar system disk didn't have clear gap, clear cavity. This is an observation of spin period of young stars. This is Orion, maybe. So the spin period distribution have the clear bimodal distribution. So first rotator, so just 1 day period, but another peak is a 1 week period. This suggested maybe this slow rotator correspond to the star with gap in the disk, and this is no gap, no cavity. They suggested in this case, magnetic field magnetic coupling is so strong that it truncates disk at the closing radius. So in that case, spin angular momentum is transferred through the magnetic field to the disk. So they are slow rotator. But in this case, this star accrete, I mean, fast rotating gas. So they become fast rotator. So this is no, I mean, strong evidence of theory, but this is just observation, and they suggest this kind of diversity exists. So if it is correct, and the solar system corresponds to this disk, then the, we clear out the closing planet. This is we did a calculation with cavity and no cavity, and this number corresponds to the how fast is the type of migration we set up. This is a relative fast migration case. This is a slow migration case. But the result is very similar. And this is a cavity case. In this case, we find many supers. This is a result of 20 runs. And this is mean value, and this is dispersion. And of course, these guys are just clear out. And our solar system may correspond to this system. Although in order to reproduce our solar system in more detail, we need to include perturbation from the Jupiter or Saturn. But qualitatively, solar system corresponds to this pattern because there's no crossing planet. Also, I'd like to point out that this system corresponds to the Jovian satellite system, and this corresponds to the Saturnian satellite system. Okay, so I already talked long, so let me summarize. With the N-body simulation and the synthetic plant formation model, including this cavity and the eccentricity trap and the resonant trapping and the Gi impact, we can reproduce the non-resonant multiple short fields super system, which is observed and commonly exists. And the diversity of short period crossing Rocky planet may be caused by the diversity and evolution of this inner boundary. So here I didn't discuss about the physics of the how the cavity evolved, but it may cause the diversity. Okay, thank you very much.
If you take the metallicity, I mean, we believe, I mean, observations seem to indicate that they don't follow this hot super the same metallicity trend as the giant planets.
Yeah. We didn't check in detail, but it's a bit natural because for gas giant, we need some. We have some threshold. If the core mass is like a 3 Earth mass, then nothing happens. If the core mass exceeds 7, 10 Earth mass, then we get a gas giant. But in this case, we don't have any threshold mass. so that if there is a cavity, and every solid body is accumulated near the disk edge. So that inevitably super as a pump. So that I believe that metallicity dependence is very weak.
Another thing that we found when we were doing these simulations and focusing more on the giant planets that I think will help to prevent super Earths from ultimately becoming gas giants when they shouldn't is that when the system does grow gas giants at larger radii, they tend to cut off not all, but a lot of the gas that would otherwise flow in. So the gas, the partial cavities starts to form, and then that will also, I think, make it easier for those super Earths to stay super Earths.
I see. Okay.
So that would imply that there are giant planets outside?
That would need to be a giant planet.
So in this model, ultimately the masses of the super-Earths are determined by the late-stage accretion, which suggests that, can you make a quantitative prediction about the distribution of mass ratios of the super-Earths in a single system? Because generally accretion, this accretion from a bunch of small things into things, does give some sort of, they tend to be roughly equal mass. Right?
Yeah, roughly equal mass. Yeah, this is kind of tricky to answer. And, they tend to have a panel, but almost equal. And because it is a giant impact, and the building block mass is very similar.
But by more the distribution of the rotation rate of the young star, surprisingly, but is it true that classical T Tauri stars typically rotate slowly, correspond to one of your peaks?
Whereas
sort of
inclined
T-Tauri
stars,
faster.
It's not so clear. Some observers suggest that this one corresponds to classical T-Tauri stars, and this is weak.
From T-Tauri, classical T-Tauri stars.
The classical like this, and this is Orion, so if they change the star formation region, I mean, in all the region.
What stars are this in this sample, in this
And this is Orion, so many of them are classical T-Tauri stars.
So this bimodality may be an evolutionary thing.
So some observers suggested they are both. So initially this stage and eventually this stage, but the observation is not so clear.
Well, it has to be an evolution at some point, right? Because the sun is now sort of off the right end of your plot. Old stars.
If you form planet very efficiently, you destroy the disk, then the star does not have time to slow down. You form that kind of a speculative.
Most stars have slowed down.
Now, I want to make a comment on this too, that the situation was very unclear around the early part of the 2000s, with one group saying that there was a correlation of disks and rotation period, and the other one said there was not. This has gotten cleared up a lot in the past 5 years by Spitzer observations of multiple clusters. And now the people who are arguing there really wasn't a correlation are sort of agreeing that there is one. It's not as strong as you like, but there are several other papers I can point you to besides this one. Different clusters analyzed with Spitzer, and they tend to say that the faster spinning stars tend to have weaker disks.
I see. So you mean that this is evolution?
Well, they can't prove that. It's just a correlation.
Please let me know the difference.
Yeah, I'll find the references for you.
That's a standard view, right, for a long time, right?
Well, that was Herbst's view, and then there were other folks. Basically, disk diagnostics were not good enough prior to Spitzer to really know what you had, and it's cleared it up a good bit.
Yeah, I find quite interesting the comparison between
exoplanets and Saturn and Jupiter. I was wondering if you have an explanation. You know, in the Saturnian system, there is only one big body, as you say, which is Titan. It has an atmosphere. In the Jovian system, you have several bodies not having the atmosphere. In the Saturnian system, Titan has a very large eccentricity, which is about 3%, and there is nothing to maintain this. I mean, there is no Laplace resonance with other satellites that can explain this eccentricity. So I was wondering if you have an explanation. I mean, I published a paper a few years ago about trying to explain the eccentricity of Titan, saying that it started maybe with 30% eccentricity, and now with some internal modeling, you can find that 3% is not out of the possibilities. But I was wondering if you have another explanation for this very large eccentricity for Titan.
Yeah, our paper didn't address the eccentricity, so just location and composition. I haven't checked the orbital eccentricity of Titan, so it is very interesting issue.
You can't take the analogy too far, though, right? Because in the satellite systems of the giant planets, the angular momentum budget is very different. All the angular momentum is in the planets, whereas the planets around stars, it's the other way around. All the angular momentum is in the planets. So, and since angular momentum is an important part of this argument, I mean, it's not an exact analogy.
I haven't thought about angular momentum.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the other question is Saturn has still rings around it, and so why?
Yeah, but I think the system is very similar because they are in
Actually, that does raise an interesting question. For these super Earths, is it still true that most of the angular momentum is in the planets, in the planetary system?
It's still angular momentum is included in the planets, because in our solar system, spin angular momentum, stellar spin angular momentum, and Jupiter angular momentum, it's at 200 So the super system, but they're close. I'm very delicate. I haven't checked that.
So is it in your scenario for the super systems, is there any phase at which tides could influence the orbit maybe after the giant impacts for the super Earth as the closest thing? Because the tidal cue of a super Earth might be quite small. So you could imagine actually some change in eccentricity, and maybe other stuff going on.
Yeah, if they are inside correlation radius, of course they're migrating.
But more generally, could there be some significant tidal interaction?
Yeah.
Maybe after the phase you model.
I think not so important. Mm-hmm. Actually, the case of Gaia system. Now the tidal version is not so important. So maybe I'm asking.
There's maybe a factor of 2 or 3. It's a factor of 10^4 in Q, but the power goes as like the 8. So you get a factor of maybe 3 in there.
Of course it depends on Q value. In the Gaia satellite system, tidal orbital evolution times are very long, right?
Well, they stay locked together. I mean, Io, Europa, and Ganymede, they stay locked together, but it's interesting that Callisto is not. So apparently there is still a kind of equilibrium for the three inner Jovian satellites.
Tidal orbital evolution.
People have done that, yes.
Thank you.